You ready?
Ready?
Ready? Ready? Watch out, Frank!
Anyway, with my friend.
Warning, the following podcast features views and opinions that are not representative of the collective views of the Whispers groups. Some of these views may not be suitable for children. Accordingly, the producers and hosts of the Missy AE podcast must insist that no one attempt to take anything that is being said as representative of the views of any of the Whispers groups.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Missy AE podcast. Tonight, we bring to you Sports Whispers Weekly, where we have a lot of action going on right now. We have the Kentucky Derby today.
Really?
Oh, my God. Maybe one of the biggest upsets, I think, in Kentucky Derby history.
Yeah.
Lou? I mean, yes. Rich Strike was what, 80 to 1?
80 to 1. 80 to 1.
80 to 1, and it can't.
Yes.
If I recall correctly, they were in, like, the middle of the pack or something, and they were in the back of the pack, and they
right.
somehow ended up catapulting all the way to the front, and they were in the middle of the pack, and they ultimately ended up taking the win at 80 to 1 odds.
Yeah.
Now I want to take a look at what the longest odds have ever been for the Kentucky Derby. It was 1913. The winner of the 1913 Kentucky Derby was at 91 to 1 odds.
Hmm.
Which was Donna Rail.
Back in the prehistoric era.
Back in the prehistoric era, as you put it, yeah. It was just absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
So obviously, we will talk more about the Kentucky Derby. We have the NBA playoff.
I have a friend that wants to join into the show. He's called my show occasionally. Can I give him the information to call in?
Sure, by all means.
Okay, he's a nice guy. She's from Connecticut.
By all means.
He's a good guy.
Yeah,
feel free
to give him the number.
Oh, I will. I'm doing it right now, actually.
But we have
a good hockey game here.
Yeah, we have the Stanley Cup playoffs to talk about. We have the NBA playoffs. We have some NFL transactions to talk about, as well as maybe perhaps somebody really wasn't lying about a certain back injury. Because there's quite the development in the Brooklyn Nets. You know what? Why don't we go straight on to that? Ben Simmons, all of a sudden, was he's already undergone the back surgery. He has undergone back surgery, which will apparently the time frame is 3 to 4 months that he will be out for. And he ended up consulting multiple back specialists, and the consensus apparently was that this was the best course of action in order to preserve his long-term health. A lot of people thought throughout the whole time that he has sat out that, you know, it was all a mental thing. But now, I guess maybe he really wasn't, he really wasn't lying, and there really was something fucked up with his back. Because, think about it. If he was on track to go in game 3 or game 4, and then all of a sudden, a couple of days beforehand, he ends up having to back out. Now, there's been a bit of speculation recently that was this at the request of the Nets that they basically pushed him
probably
to try and play? Because
because, you know, I think he was gonna play maybe in game three, then maybe in game four, and then he didn't play. You know, I think there was some conspiracies here.
Well, it's just weird because
it is
the Nets. They gave up a lot in order to get,
especially,
you know, they ended up giving up Harden, which, I mean, let's be perfectly honest, he hasn't really showed up in the playoffs as usual.
No.
So, that, you know, could, you know, I shouldn't say he's not the type of guy, but he's clearly not the same James Harden that he was with the Rockets. But
no.
You would think if they still had Harden, that maybe perhaps that Boston series would have been a different series.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you think about it. You would have had the big three, and
yeah,
that would have forced Boston to account for Harden, and then they wouldn't have been able to isolate Durant like they were able to for part of the series. Now,
yeah,
obviously, you know, they trade away Harden, they bring in Simmons. Simmons, obviously, you know, he's not really known for his scoring. He's known more for his defense and his playmaking ability. But still, you know, if Simmons were to have played, it could have potentially altered the series. But now, from all the information that has come out within the past week, it kind of makes you wonder if perhaps it was the Nets that had basically been trying to get Simmons to play. And maybe perhaps there really was something wrong with Simmons this entire time.
Yeah, I kind of thought maybe something was up with it. I mean, you know, I think maybe he was pointing this out. I mean, he didn't even play all year. So what made me think he was even going to come back for this? It was kind of stupid. So I think, you know, he was just trying to, you know, just disregard the whole season altogether.
So now, I mean, do you think that it's really going to be a 3 to 4 month recovery? I mean, back surgery. Wouldn't you think that it would be a longer wait?
Yeah, like about up to maybe double that.
Although supposedly, I guess there are different types of back surgery, but this supposedly was done to alleviate the pressure on his herniated disc that he has in his spine. So
yes,
I mean from all indications, just taking a look at the he posted a photo on either his Twitter or his Instagram, you know, a day after the procedure, and he was, you know, it seemed like he was sitting in the car and everything, like almost as if he was able to walk. So I guess the surgery must not have been really that much of a big deal. But
no,
of course I'm no medical professional, you know.
Neither am I.
But still, this. It kind of makes you think that maybe perhaps you know, there are some people that believe that, oh, this is just Ben Simmons, another excuse for Simmons to miss more time.
No fooling.
And but yet there's also somebody who believes as well that, you know, maybe perhaps Simmons will actually be fully healthy and recovered once he comes back.
Yeah.
All right. I believe we have your friend calling in. What's his name?
Alex.
Alex.
Yeah.
All right. Alex,
yes,
you are on the air.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, nice to have you on. Obviously, your friend Lou has been helping me with the show for years. So, if he can get people to come on here, more than welcome to have you on. So,
I'm all about networking.
Yeah, well, we've been discussing the Ben Simmons back surgery that just took place this week, and a lot of people have been really skeptical on him ever since he ended up screwing up in the playoffs last year, and everybody's been wondering, has it always been a mental thing? Has there really actually been something wrong with him? Now there's a belief by some people that maybe perhaps this whole back surgery is a made up story for him just so that he can miss more time. I want to get your thoughts on that, Alex, because it really seems odd that ever since the playoffs last year, Ben Simmons, ever since that one screw up, his whole entire career has completely taken a nosedive.
Well, you know what? I'm not here to judge anyone. No one's perfect, but that smells like he's stealing money, quite frankly.
Yeah.
He's Ben Simmons, all world talent. We all know he's great. I mean, 6'10", lefty.
Yeah.
You know, he can play point. He can play small. Well, you know what? Suit up. And when he didn't do that, and then suddenly after they get swept, now he's having surgery? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
that's absolutely ridiculous.
There are some people who believe too that, I shouldn't say some people, but there are reports that have come out that the Nets were somehow trying to pressure him to play Game Four, and ultimately he ultimately decided against it with the whole back issue. So you kind of have to wonder if the Nets knew about this back issue to begin with. It's kind of negligence on the Nets as well.
They were trading one drama for the other drama. So look at James Harden. I mean, you're kind of swapping. I would never use that word lightly, but you're swapping like a cancerous, a troubled player for another one.
They're both two peas
in the same pod. I mean, Harden and Simmons are just divas, and they're not winners. And the Nets are realizing, wow, we got another head case on our hands.
Oh yeah, no doubt. You know honestly, I understand the whole idea that maybe perhaps the Nets. Well, actually, no, the Nets didn't even want to move on from James Harden. It was James Harden who wanted to move on from the Nets, just like he ended up wanting to move on from Houston. And I almost feel like this was perhaps – oh, I think we lost Alex. We'll reconnect him when we get the chance to. But, you know, this whole thing for swapping James Harden and Ben Simmons, Harden ultimately gave up on the Nets. I'm pretty damn sure the Nets didn't give up on Harden because they gave up quite a ton just to pry him from Houston. So obviously, yeah, you're trading one diva for another diva. And you know, honestly, in this case, I think
scores. Pittsburgh just scored.
Oh yeah, you know what? That's another thing that we're obviously going to get to the Stanley Cup playoffs later on, and we have to talk about that overtime game. How long did it go? 3-4.
It's now 5-4.
No. I mean, how many overtimes did that?
Three.
Did that previous
Three.
Game go?
Never
Three overtimes.
Never should have happened.
Yeah, You know what? You know what? Screw it. Let's go. Let's go to the Stanley Cup playoffs now, because I don't. First off, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to have a connection here. My phone's been screwy all. Ever since. I think it was because I was around too many machines at over at MGM.
Where's that?
You know over in Springfield.
Boxwoods?
The no.
I thought you were the Boxwoods.
Over in Springfield. No, I wish. Although I have, I have been to Foxwoods before, but
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. By the way, tell your friend Alex if he wants. I did not disconnect him, so if he wants to call back in, he's more than welcome.
I'll tell him that right now.
That it wasn't me that disconnected him. Blog Talk for some reason. Unless he ended up dropping, he ended up ending the call himself, possibly. But Blog Talk sometimes has issues with certain certain numbers.
I'll tell him that.
I've been to Foxwoods before, but MGM. I was around a whole bunch of stuff yesterday while I was on my winning streak. So maybe perhaps that's what's kind of screwed up my phone here. And man, Jordan Poole cannot miss right now.
No.
You see this score between Golden State and Memphis? 43-35. Memphis got out to, I think it was like a 21-8 lead. And
yeah,
ever since, they've been almost ice cold for the most part. But yeah, Lou, the Stanley Cup playoffs, man, mm-hmm. There's so many games that we can talk about here.
Sure.
I mean, we can just get off to the three overtime game, which I believe was on Tuesday. Tuesday night, the Penguins and Rangers. Ultimately, the Penguins ended up winning with their backup in net. Louis Domingue ended up having to replace their starter. And I believe actually Pittsburgh ended up losing their previous goaltender to a season-ending injury, I believe.
Yes, yes.
Casey DeSmith.
Anthony Smith. And that was
in
the second
overtime. Yep. So, not only have they lost Tristan Jarry, but now because he suffered a broken foot back on April 14th, but now they've lost Casey DeSmith, who underwent core muscle surgery yesterday, so he is out for the remainder of the playoffs, and he was injured during the second overtime period.
Yeah.
And now Louis Domingue is basically going to be manning the net for Pittsburgh, and who knows if Tristan Jarry will be available. But
yeah,
it's not really looking good if you're relying on your third goaltender to keep you in a series. And honestly, the Rangers should really look to capitalize on this opportunity here.
Yeah.
Considering the fact that you take a look at the offensive firepower that the Rangers have. I mean, it's no shock that the Rangers opened up a 5-goal whoop-ass on them Thursday night to tie up the series.
Of course.
But, I mean, to dive a little bit deeper into that overtime game between the Pittsburgh Penguins and the New York Rangers. The shots on goal were 83 for Pittsburgh to 68 for the Rangers. And I believe, the record is what, 80, is it 81 or 82 saves for a goaltender in the playoffs?
Right.
It was set a couple of years ago, I think. And Igor Shesterkin came close.
Shesterkin,
he had 70.
Yeah.
He ended up finishing with 79 saves on 83 shot attempts.
83 shots. Still lost the game to a thing that never should have happened.
Yeah, but Casey DeSmith, though, before his injury, had 48 saves on 51 shot attempts. Then Domingue came in and went a perfect 17 for 17. As far as the scoring went, the Penguins got goals from Rust, two from Guentzel, one from Malkin, and that pretty much was all she wrote for the Penguins. The Rangers, they had goals from Andrew Kopp, from Chris Kreider, who is fresh off of his, 52-goal season, I think, for the Rangers.
What's the record
for the Rangers, right?
No, Victor Hadfield has the record.
All right.
54-1971.
And we also had Adam Fox contributing a goal. So
yes,
you know, Lou, I guess the big thing here is how big of an impact will that injury to Casey DeSmith have on the rest of this series? Because
it's not hurting Pittsburgh at all. So obviously, you know, they're doing something right. I mean, maybe goes, you know, deeper in the series, it might have an effect on, but Pittsburgh's, you know, holding their own right now. And Krzyzewski is supposed to be the top goaltender, and he's, you know, he's falling flat a bit, especially in this game. I mean, it was hot, though, in the second game, you know, beating up on Pittsburgh 5-2, which we desperately needed.
Yes, and, you know, I guess maybe perhaps you can't really say this is on the offense, because the offense are scoring plenty of goals. I mean, through three games, you got 12 goals.
Goal scoring has been up this year, Steve, so that's not really surprising to me.
No, I guess the big issue is the fact that you can't forget that Pittsburgh still has enough firepower to negate a bad goaltending game.
Well, like I said, Malkinen, you know, has always been a problem for us, and that's what worries me about this series most of all.
Right.
Because,
long
before I started calling into these shows and hosting my own, of course, I've been an avid sports fan since I was 6 years old, and I remember some devastating losses for other teams, and that had to be one of the more devastating injuries when Malkin beat us in overtime back in 2009. I'm like, gosh, shut up.
Man, this game is in serious danger of becoming a blowout at this point, because there are certain players who just can't miss right now.
Yeah.
Right now, Golden State has opened up a 9-point lead on Memphis. Memphis just has not recovered right now, but. Yeah, you know,
I'm expecting this to be a better series than what most people think.
But you know, obviously, we will dive into the NBA playoffs in a little bit here. I just ended up looking at the TV and I couldn't believe, you know, how quickly this game has been flipped on its head.
I think the Pistons are going 7 games, so I'm not surprised. I think there's a tremendous potential of going the distance.
Yeah, especially if the NBA wants it to go seven games, it'll probably go seven games.
Well, I've had you know, this to me was going to be the best series in this. The best game in this round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean it more than likely could end up being that way.
I mean, you can disagree with me, people, all you want, but that's the way I saw it.
No, I can't say I really disagree with you. I mean, the first two games have been pretty close.
I mean, people in general, because there's a lot of naysayers out there, and 4 out of 5 people who call sports shows disagree with my opinion.
Yeah, well, you know, it happens with all hosts. You know, you see it no matter what sports show it is. There are certain shows who will have everybody disagreeing with certain people. But you know, going more into the playoff picture here for the Stanley Cup playoffs. In the Eastern Conference, we have the Capitals currently leading 2-1 against the Florida Panthers, the number one seeded Florida Panthers, might I add. And the Capitals in their most recent game just absolutely blew them out. It's like first we started off this series with a 4-2 Capitals win. Then Florida blows them out 5-1 in game two. And then Washington blows them out 6-1 in game three. I mean, is this just going to be a seesaw battle here between Washington and Florida just to see, you know, who's going to
– that way. I was thinking that, you know, that Washington wouldn't have much of a chance as a lower seed. I didn't think they were going to hold up that much. But they're showing signs that they're capable of hanging in even against the top seed. This one surprised me. A lot of things in the sports world do not, but this is one of those rare times that does.
You know, it kind of makes you wonder: have people maybe overrated? Oh my God!
It's possible.
We will get to that in a minute, but have people overrated the Florida Panthers a little bit here?
I think maybe they did. You know, the also thing is, too, that whenever you see a team that's hot in the regular season that win the so-called President's Trophy, you know, sometimes that's a bad omen, to be honest with you, because they usually have a tendency to, you can pardon this, choke early on. So, and then they said, oh, well, this season was a failure. No, I wouldn't call it a failure. The Islanders was a failure. The Flyers was a failure. The Red Wings is a failure, but, you know, if you make the playoffs, I don't know if I consider that a failure. I mean, but you couldn't hold up. I mean, you just ran out of gas when you got to the regular season. You went to overdrive too often in the regular season, and you just got burnt out. That's the whole thing. You're all burnt out by the time you get there. It's no wonder that they can't hold on, you know, from the President's Trophy to the playoffs. You're burnt out.
And let's not forget, too, the Panthers, they still have their young star defenseman, Aaron Ekblad, who literally just returned in game one after missing 6 weeks with a knee injury. So you kind of have to think he's still going to be shaking off the rust from having been out so many times for so many weeks.
Yeah.
But – you know, though, I mean, just looking at this series, I've always looked at Florida and thought, you know, I think just getting to the, obviously everybody wants to go to the wants to win the Stanley Cup, but honestly, I think this is actually a success for Florida because even just making the playoffs after missing so many years of missing the playoffs, they finally made it in.
Now, what do you do about Detroit, who once made a playoff for 25 years and now missed the last six?
Yeah, and honestly, Detroit, Jesus, who knows how long their skid is going to go when it comes to playoff appearances. But
25 years?
I mean, they have Steve Yzerman at the helm. So...
Yeah, I got Yaz.
And
right.
You saw what...
And you think that Yaz, they would, you know, do a better job.
Well, you saw what he did with Tampa Bay and how he completely turned that franchise around.
Right.
And now look at Tampa Bay. They're back-to-back Stanley Cup winners. And quite frankly, they...
Yeah, it's over.
Well, I don't know if they could get to the cup this year though, because they're having a problem with the Maple Leafs so far in their series. With the Maple Leafs, Leafs leading 2-1 right now
their
best
of
seven series. Oh, you mean the Ranger game? Yeah.
Yeah. Pittsburgh got a beanetter, dirtbag.
So that'll be a 2-1 series lead for the Pittsburgh Penguins in that matchup. And the winner of this matchup will face the winner of Boston and Carolina, who is currently leading the Bruins 2-1, which honestly I can't really say is that much of a shocker because. But let's just say Carolina completely whooped the asses of the Bruins all season long. So I can't really say that's much of a shocker. I will say I'm shocked that the Bruins were able to beat Carolina last night the way they did, though. I was very surprised because we got Pastrnak, but even in the regular season we had a fully healthy Bruins team got absolutely slaughtered by the Hurricanes.
Right.
So the fact that we were even able to pick up a win just because we ended up replacing our goaltender, we ended up starting Swayman instead of starting Ullmark. For game three, you know, it's I'm kind of surprised right now that the Bruins are even in this series. I was expecting heading into tonight that the Bruins would be down 3-0.
Extra offense.
And you know, that's coming from a Bruins fan. So,
right.
Yeah. Needless to say, it's not really. It's kind of surprising, just the fact that the Bruins are even in this series right now, and it's not a good sight though for the Bruins because they will be without Hampus Lindholm for Game 4, I believe, after suffering an injury. Oh my God! What a shot by Ja Morant, half court shot and. Literally, when I say half court, he was actually behind the line of half court.
That's Morant for you.
And he just, it was a laser. Not even, it didn't even hit the rim. Went right through the net.
I'll tell you, if Morant plays the way he is, it's going to be a series. I told you.
Wow. And just like that lead is now down to 7 for Golden
State.
Not insurmountable. I am stunned. And now he has 17 points at the half now because of that. But yeah, you know, looking at the matchups right now, Washington has a 2-1 series lead over Florida. Toronto has a 2-1 series lead over Tampa Bay. So it looks right now, if this track continues, we're probably looking at Washington and Toronto, believe it or not, in the second round. And we're probably looking at Carolina and Pittsburgh, assuming that this track continues the way that it's going. Now, there's always the opportunity for all the other teams to get back into the mix. But just going based off of what we're seeing right now. Now over for the Western Conference, you have the Avalanche about to sweep the Nashville Predators, from what it looks like, because none of these games have really been close except for Game Two.
I might be going there on occasion because I'm not at home. One of those places like where you were last night. So I might be going down to the casino, but I'll call back in about 5 or 10 minutes, regardless where I am.
Alex,
Lou,
we've added you back in, Alex. He's switching locations, so he'll be back. Alex, I'm sorry that you got disconnected. It wasn't I was not the one to disconnect you. Blog Talk Radio, for some reason,
my cell phone had no battery.
Okay, because I was kind of wondering, I was sort of explaining the whole Ben Simmons thing, and then all of a sudden I saw you got cut off. I'm like, oh boy, I hope he doesn't think I disconnected him, because I did not touch a single thing. Are you a hockey fan by chance, Alex?
Yeah, you know what? I used to be a huge playing growing up, and then I got injured and cut from my high school team. And my high school team is actually the same place I was playing, in the same rink as Chris Drury, the general manager of the New York Rangers.
Oh shit!
So I'm still a massive Rangers fan.
Nice. Well, the Rangers, they did ultimately end up draw. Well, I don't know if the game has gone final yet, but it was 5-4.
Watching Grizzlies Warriors right now is incredible. But yeah, I mean,
How about that half court shot, huh?
Oh, that was amazing. I mean, these guys, it's the highest level. Growing up, my dad would take me to Madison Square Garden. And I'm still amazed. I love baseball. I love football. I love hockey. But when you see a 6'7" guy that can, drop back from 30 feet and hit three-pointers or dance in the air and dunk, I mean, I think pro basketball players are the best athletes in the world. I mean,
it's amazing. Some of the plays that these guys can pull off, especially when they're in midair, like you said, some of these people who end up going up for shots and then they ultimately end up passing it off instead while they're in midair, and yet everybody's thinking, oh, he's going to go for the layup.
It's amazing. And I love baseball. I love all the other sports, but I mean, I think basketball just maybe captivates or blows my mind more than the other sports.
The Grizzlies and Warriors ultimately ends up, there's the possibility that this could be the closest seven game series potentially, if it does happen to go seven games. Right now, the Warriors are up by 7 on the Grizzlies at the half. But there is the opportunity that maybe perhaps the Grizzlies will be able to get back in this. They just have to get everything in gear. I mean, just taking a look at where they stand right now in this game. Ja Morant is actually pretty much the only two players who have shown up to play are Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. right now. And honestly, shockingly enough, Jaren Jackson Jr. is not in foul trouble. I mean, right now he has two personal fouls when usually he's pretty much approaching foul trouble at this point in the game, usually by halftime. So the fact that he only has two personal fouls right now is a huge plus for the Grizzlies. So now they have more room. I can't really say they have more room for error, but they do have more room to potentially, maneuver around foul trouble, so to speak. But man, they have just basically been attempting to live or die by the three in this matchup. And you know, that's the weird thing nowadays about basketball is the fact that this game has basically evolved to where you can't get back in the game unless you're shooting three-pointers. That's pretty much the only opportunity you have to get back in the game is if you're shooting three-pointers. Otherwise, there may be a wide-open layup potentially available. But nope, got to shoot the three-pointer. That's the only way I can get back in this game is by shooting the three-pointer instead of taking a potential wide-open layup. But looking at where the Grizzlies are right now, you got Zaire Williams with 7 points, Xavier Tillman with 5, Desmond Bane with 8. I still can't believe that the Boston Celtics traded away Desmond Bane to the Memphis Grizzlies. I just can't understand what is what Danny Ainge was thinking at that point. You got Melton with 4, along with Brandon Clark with 4. And Kyle Anderson has contributed only 2 points off of the bench. Meanwhile, I'm kind of surprised actually that Steven Adams hasn't somehow found his way into this game yet. But maybe perhaps they're just waiting on potentially if Jaren Jackson Jr. ultimately ends up in foul trouble potentially. Meanwhile, over on Golden State's side, man, it just seems like they cannot miss a single basket. I mean, they've shot 60% from three point range. And all right, let me add Alex back on here. Alex,
I'm so sorry.
I have no
idea. My phone cut out. I apologize.
That's no problem. I was sometimes when Blog Talk. Has these issues because I only do a sports show, but we also do Survivor recap podcasts for
wow.
for the CBS show.
That's awesome, man.
And stuff. And
I'm honored to be on the show. Lou told me he's this guy has a bunch of great stuff, so I'm honored to be on the show.
Oh yeah, well we're glad to have you on here. There's been problems with Blog Talk Radio in the past. So,
yeah.
Sometimes that can kind of happen. I mean, it's happened to me before where literally I'd be talking with Lou and then all of a sudden I'd get disconnected, even though I'm the host, I'm the one hosting the call and yet I would get disconnected out of nowhere. Blog Talk Radio. So
things happen. Everything moves on.
So then, yeah, it's just the fact that, if I get disconnected, you are back on the air once again, Alex.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Now, let's talk about this matchup. What are your thoughts on Golden State right now with a 7-point lead over Memphis? I mean, Memphis, ever since they started off with, a 21-8 lead, they've all of a sudden gone ice cold, it seemed, from the first quarter on.
This is, it's tough to describe. This is it's the ultimate matchup. You got the offense, everyone's cooking, Golden State, threes, corner threes, transition. Memphis is old school and defensive, but they also have athletes. They match up really well with Golden State. Dylan Brooks not being there tonight, that hurts Memphis. But overall, I mean, Memphis is not scared. Memphis is ready for this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they weren't scared for game two after that happened.
Nope.
And they almost won game one. Yeah, and you know, what is your ultimate thought?
Not to change the world, but they could be up 2-0.
They very well could if Ja Morant didn't miss that wide open layup attempt.
Yeah, I mean, I think Memphis is the better team. I really do. I honestly do.
So what? Now, you know, I want to get to that Dylan Brooks.
Oh yeah, go for it, man. I was just gonna say. I mean, it comes down to confidence. Obviously, Curry and Thompson, they've been there before. You know, it's like that
right.
level. Memphis. They're so blue collar. They're so easy to root for. They've not been on that stage. So there's a different mental element to that matchup. I mean, Golden State kind of feels at ease. Memphis is trying to prove themselves. So it's kind of an uphill
That's
climb
right,
for Memphis.
Yeah.
They got to prove themselves.
I mean, you kind of saw it in the Minnesota series when Minnesota,
yeah.
you know, Karl-Anthony Towns was getting all the calls, and yet Ja Morant would get absolutely slaughtered at the basket,
yeah.
you know, and yet he wouldn't receive a single call. So it's almost like,
yeah.
it almost feels like for Memphis fans, it's Memphis versus the world right now.
That's a great way to look at it, man. I really like that. It's true. I mean, now, so, yeah, I mean, through Lou's one of my best friends. So my backstory, real, you know, for 5 seconds, I'll give it to you. I'm Mets
All right.
and Bills. So my growing up, I met Donovan, Reggie White, Randall Cunningham, but I'm also a Mets fan. But randomly, my first time ever being in Madison Square Garden when I was 8 years old, Blazers, Knicks. So I'm a Blazers fan too. So I love the small school. Ja is like a Dame Lillard. He's trying to shock the world.
I mean, you know, with the point totals he's put up in this series so far, he's really started to blossom. From, I mean, you could tell a huge difference from his rookie year onward. You know, he looks
of course.
Like a completely different player.
And it's a beautiful thing to see. I mean, look at that. I mean, he's growing. And the team thrives off him. The team needs him, and he's leading the way. I mean, I think they can do it. This game tonight is huge. I mean, come on, make some mistake,
yeah.
man. I mean, Saturday night, let's cut to the, you know, the BS. If they win tonight, that's huge. If they lose, then we're going to hear about the Warriors for a couple of days, and then the Grizzlies
yeah.
are probably done. They're probably done if they lose this.
Now, it's, you know, they're kind of like overall, period, right now. So it's almost like this Golden State team cannot miss. You know, if missing a basket basically meant like, you die if you miss a basket. These guys are landing literally everything that they shoot at this point. So, Memphis, they don't really have any room for error here. If they decide to just completely start chucking the threes like they were a couple of games during the Minnesota series. Instead of, you know, maybe taking an easy layup attempt, no, I'm going to instead settle for a 3-point attempt. It's entirely possible that Golden State could potentially run away with any of these games.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
I mean,
obviously, it doesn't. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge game. I mean, if the Grizzlies get this, then they're in the driver's seat. If you lose this, you know, the momentum is lost.
Yeah.
And welcome back, Lou. I connected you back on, Lou.
Louie, the man.
Yeah.
Lou, you going to Atlantic
City? Yeah, I'm in the casino floor right now.
Oh wow, I'm picture me jealous.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Anyway,
just how effortless these threes are.
I'm on DraftKings up in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Ooh. I mean, just how effortless these threes are. You know, Golden State is just, you know, Clay Thompson just now with absolutely no hesitation.
Yep. Time out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, now Golden State has opened it up to a 15-point lead. So it's –
oh, wow.
They're not winning this game.
No, it's –
probably not.
I mean, it's going to have to take a massive collapse at this point by Golden State. And that just increased their three-point percentage to 66.7% right now. So they're hitting two-thirds. Of their three.
Yeah, and once you know, we and our neighbors and brothers and mothers know. Like once Golden State starts cooking, it's over. So now Golden State's gonna go on a run.
Yeah, and it's very, you know, it's very scary to look at Golden State right now and think, wait until James Wiseman comes back. You know, they're already cooking
now. I'm not a big believer in that guy. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, raw. He's like a Greg Oden. I mean, a 7-footer. Anyone would love to have him, but he looked very raw and unrefined.
But, yeah.
I don't know. I think he might be a bust.
Yeah, he could be. I mean, he kind of had subpar numbers somewhat for his rookie year before he ended up getting injured.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, he's definitely a work in progress if he's been able to develop at all during his, his recovery.
Yes.
But, don't
get me wrong. He's very projectable. He seemed very, very well a project.
Right. Yeah, he's definitely a project at this point.
A project. Yeah.
Although I will say though, you know, I have seen some encouraging parts of his game. That kind of makes me think maybe, you know, normally you look at certain players and you look at them coming out of college and you're like, okay, who is going to be a long-term project and who could potentially, you know, who could potentially make an impact within a certain amount of time? Wiseman, he's kind of in the middle. Like, maybe it may take a year or two for him to get fully adjusted, but, you know, he's not really somebody like, I'll take Fab Melo, for example. When the Celtics drafted Fab Melo, everybody was looking at him as a long-term project. Like, it may take him 3 or 4 years before he would be able to even do anything in the NBA. And, I mean, now he's a washout, so... you know, but with Wiseman, I mean, I don't think there's any better of a team that he could have been drafted by with Golden State. With the way that they've been able to develop players.
They're not about to beat him back, so he's kind of like on his you know, his own probation. I hope he's getting wrecked working out. If you give me I'm going to be in.
Uh, Alex, I think you were break I think you were breaking up a little bit during that.
Yeah.
Oh, Stan, if you know, I would trust that Wiseman is you know, staying in shape and getting ready for the season.
Oh, true. Yeah, I would assume
yeah.
that.
If he's not, then I can give his number to James Harden and Ben Simmons because they cash out.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously,
they're probably running a Louis right now at Atlantic City.
Right. Maybe they are.
Harden's going to the strip club. He's going to the strip club out in Philly.
Yeah.
Right now, Golden State is shooting 31-for-43 from the field. Only missed 12 shots entirely.
I'm so glad I'm not a huge whatever better, but I'm glad that I did not take Memphis. I actually did not take them. I knew this was coming. Golden State, it's like the old Bulls teams or the old Kobe teams. They get hot and they just roll. They roll.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody was saying that when Thompson was on the sidelines, and you know this was basic. I mean, it's always been Curry's team, but when Curry was basically the main source of offense during Klay Thompson's injury days, everybody was saying, oh, you know. This Golden State, you know, the Warriors, they were, you know, they really suffered during Klay's absence. But then,
absolutely,
all of a sudden, as it started getting closer to Klay's return, you started to see this Warriors team really, really start to get back to the team that they used to be.
Yeah, and
they had Durant.
Yeah, and to build on your point, sometimes it takes, you know, it's like. Person is that you really count on and trust. When they're not there, other people step up. So now you have Wiggins, you've got Kuminga, who I really like, rookie. I don't know about Moses Moody, but you know, they have, and obviously, dude, I mean, shoot me, I should have already mentioned him, Jordan Poole. Now you see other guys ascending. And then they come back, and it's like, wow, now we're better.
Yeah, it's you know, the thing with Golden State is, and I think this is an and somehow he ultimately ended up making the All-Star team this year. But you take a look at all these players that Golden State has, and how they've been able to develop their players. I mean, hell, you're starting to have
teams
model after them.
Yeah, and I really like what you just said. I mean, let's think about that. I actually had not thought about that. I mean, as far as growth and development, I mean, that's a testament to the Golden State coaching staff and their scouts. That's kind of like Tampa Bay. I mean, these guys get better and better. And, I mean, not for nothing, look at the Knicks. Are those guys getting better? I mean, Golden State, those guys are getting better every day. That's what I know.
Problem with the Knicks is there's so much dysfunction. I mean, now
I
you
love,
got Julius
I, and
Randle.
I love their young core. I love the Knicks' young core. I didn't mean to.
No.
Well, Julius Randle has to go. Julius Randle's gone, no question. He's a toxic person.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they had a bounce back season, not this season, but the first year under Tom Thibodeau that you know.
Yep.
A lot of people felt, okay, maybe perhaps Thibodeau is the answer, and, you know, the Knicks will finally get back to winning seasons again. And then all of a sudden you have a step back year this year, and it's like some
people
are wondering, did adding a shooter like Evan Fournier really mess up the team this badly?
No, they lost their mojo or something? That's a great point. He didn't mess up anything. I mean, first of all, Fournier and Kemba, God bless them. I'm a Connecticut guy. I love Kemba Walker, UConn.
Oh, yeah.
They're both done. They're both done. Fournier, Kemba,
yes.
God bless you. Hey, I was a college athlete. When you're done, you're done. They got to hang him up. And then,
you know, I felt so bad
for
Kemba.
Julius Randle is just, he was toxic. If you've been looking at the Knicks, I mean, he doesn't play defense. He yells at teammates. So the less they played those three, Fournier, Kemba, Randle, the more they won. They got to go young. Toby, quickly. They got some young pieces.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they definitely have the young core that you want to see. The problem is that, you know, obviously they add all of these other pieces that kind of takes away from being able to develop some of these players.
Yeah, and as you know, when you imagine running a team. If you bring in a $40 million, a big, veteran shooting guard like Fournier, that's cutting into, RJ Barrett, because they're gonna say, okay, I should give the ball to this guy. He's older than me. No. You're better than him. You should be shooting, not Fournier. It messes up the whole dynamic. You got to go young, or you got to go one way or the other, but you can't dance around.
Right. You know, I mean, I'll give you an example. Who was it? Kevin Knox, I think. You know,
yeah.
He was being looked at one point as being a potential star. He was looking at being a potential star for the Knicks if they were able to develop him properly. Then
they took him one pick after Trae Young.
Yeah, and then, you know, then all of a sudden, Knox gets he's not even on the Knicks anymore. Where did he get shipped off to?
He went to Atlanta.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he was moved as part of the who's the guy they added? RJ Barrett.
Cam Reddish.
Cam Reddish. Yep.
Yeah. So it's, you know, you look at some of these players, and Knox, for example, you know, his rookie year, he impressed a lot of people, but then.
Yep.
His second year in the league, and he barely was even used on the Knicks roster.
No, in the Knicks are sadly, it's not a good thing. The Knicks are well known for misusing and misguiding and misdeveloping young players, and that's a fact, and that's what we go by.
Yeah. Now, meanwhile, you know, you got Golden State, and just looking at how they've developed their players. Yeah.
Look at Jordan Poole. I mean, come on. If he was on the Knicks, he might be playing as much as quickly. They would not have developed him. I mean, if you told me to bet $100, there's no way Jordan Poole would be close to the way he is if he were a Knick. No way.
No, and, you know, honestly, I would even put it this way. You know, if he was a Boston Celtic, you know, I'm a Celtics fan, but looking at the way we've tried to develop certain players over the years, most of the time it hasn't really gone well. So,
you guys had a lot of high picks. But I love the current Celtics team, man. I really do.
You know what? Actually, let's go over to the Celtics, and you think that they're gonna topple Milwaukee?
Oh, I mean, honestly, dude, Milwaukee and the Heat, I mean, those are great teams. I think the Celtics can. I've seen chemistry. I've seen heart. I've seen desire. They have a new focus now, and it's interesting. Without Brad Stevens, I mean, now he's in the press box. He's upstairs, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have
a coach.
They have a new swag.
Yeah, they have a coach who actually demands accountability.
Amaduka, great coach. Yep. I like them, and you know what? The best move that the Celtics have made this past year, dude, bring him home, Al Horford. He is the captain.
Yeah.
He's the leader. I don't care if he puts up 4 points. He is making sure all of his teammates play defense, play hard. I mean, he's like a player coach.
Right. You know, there's a lot of people that were very skeptical of him, especially after his time in Philly.
Oh, he's slow.
And then, you
he's
know, going
slow,
to
man.
Oklahoma City.
I was one of the few people
that I know who actually supported the move because Horford as a Celtic.
Yeah.
Horford as a Celtic was completely different compared to his time in Philly, who, by the way, Philly, I still stand by this, Philly had no idea how to utilize him correctly.
No, absolutely. And obviously, I mean, we're not stupid. Obviously, you cannot play him next to Embiid. That was never a fit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, overall in basketball terms and leadership and locker room, Al Horford's, A+. That's a huge move. And then Time Lord, I mean, the Celtics, their best thing that they did, they stopped playing the BS game with acting like Tatum was a four. They put Tatum back out on the wing with Brown, and they brought back Al, and they have Time Lord.
Right.
Tatum is
not a four. Understood that.
He's not a banger. Tatum is a perimeter player. He's not a banger.
Yeah, I never understood that. That's why they looked so awkward in seasons where
he's
they.
A tweener.
Yeah,
he's like 6'8". I mean, he could play the role. He could fool you for a little bit as a power forward. No, he's a wing. Jalen's a wing. Now you have Marcus Smart, who's grown ex-Time Lord, and Al Horford, and Tice. Tice is a great move. The little things, man.
You know, I'm still watching this game, and I do not understand this. You know, the NBA, Draymond Green literally demanded a foul to get called just now, seconds after.
Not a fan of his.
And then the refs call it.
I'm not a fan of his.
It's pathetic.
Man.
You know, and obviously we'll get back to the Celtics in a minute, but because I want to discuss the Celtics and Bucks series. But you know, let's get to Draymond Green here because he was ejected from game one for the foul that he ended up committing, which honestly to me it didn't seem like a flagrant two to me when I first looked at it.
That wasn't a two. That was a hard foul.
But what are your thoughts on the fact that he didn't get suspended, yet Dylan Brooks got suspended for? I mean, granted, Gary Payton Jr. broke his elbow, but
yeah, hey,
it seems a little bit extreme.
Dylan Brooks is a tough player. I wasn't a huge fan of what he did, but he goes hard. I mean, listen. The Grizzlies are climbing a hill, all right? Golden State is on top of the hill. They're going after the bullies. So things are going to happen. Dylan Brooks, maybe he makes that move, okay? Draymond Green, protected by the league, not a fan of his. I mean, Grizzlies are going to play hard. They might injure some people. I'm just saying. If you're going at the champ, you know, you got to bring everything you got.
Right.
Now, Draymond, 5-5-5. Yeah, that's awesome. He's always a triple-double on, you know, like, he doesn't do anything that great. He just does a little bit of everything.
Right.
I take him on my team. You can never build a team around Draymond. He's in the best setup ever because he's a passing big man, and they have, you know, 19 guards that can shoot. He just dishes off and rebounds.
Yeah. You know, right there, they just shot another three, with seemingly with ease. Like, it literally just floats. It's a 20-point deficit now for Memphis. So, Golden State,
they're rolling. Yeah, my dad's from St. Louis. I'm a Mets fan, and then I'm Cardinals, too. I'm taking them right now. They're playing out in San Francisco. That's a great series.
Wow. Yeah, hey, you know what? What are your thoughts, actually? And seemingly it looks like it's a reunion for we're going to have a potential three-player retirement ceremony with – or retirement season, I should say, with Albert Pujols, Adam Wainwright, and Yadier Molina.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's the idea, right? I mean, isn't this perfect? This is the end of the movie that everyone wants, right, in St. Louis? Well, update. Pujols is not performing. They have three or four batters coming up from the minors right now. I think, honestly, in about a month. I'm going to call it right now.
Well, that could be.
Because they're pushing.
That could be.
You know
but
what I mean? They have that guy Yepez, and they have they have two of the best bats in the minor leagues are coming up right now for the Cardinals. Hey, where are you going to play?
Yeah.
You going to play Pujols over them? No. Are you building for the future?
I mean,
or are you making a movie? Pujols is gone.
I mean, granted, he has the statistical history, but
of course.
I mean, performing. Yeah, he has two homers and five RBIs currently, but
no, he's performing.
You know,
and
if he's not performing, you know, I think he just wanted to sign with St. Louis. That maybe he originally was going to retire. Maybe he originally was going to retire this past off season, but he decided, you know, let me give it one more go. Let me sign with who, you know, to give it full circle. And
with the Cardinals,
go back to the team that I started off with, and
it's a romantic love story. It's not realistic
much.
Right now. Like you said, now you have other people coming up. They're not gonna. Are you gonna play Pujols every day? He can't run. Nope. I mean, I'm playing the young guys. They're probably gonna cut him in a month.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Look at Robbie Cano. Cut.
Yeah. Honestly, that kind of shocked me, even though he was having a bit of a poor start to the season. It kind of surprised me considering the fact that the dead money that Seattle is going to have to take on because of that.
Oh, the Mets are going to, yeah, but I mean, Steve Cohen being the owner, he's, you know, waking up in beds of money.
Yeah, not Seattle, the Mets. I'm sorry.
Oh no,
I
totally agree with you. But yeah, it's The owner now doesn't care. He's like, whatever, you're done. And it's interesting. My ex girlfriend was the cousin of Cano.
Really? Wow.
The laziest guy. And also wouldn't shower. Don't publicize this. Yeah, and full. I mean, once. Okay. Twice. No. Now the old Mets would have held on to him for the next 5 years. The new Mets owner's like, nope, you're done. Now they have J.D. Davis and Dom Smith. They have younger bats. Again, like Pujols. You don't keep an old guy like that for memories. If you want to win, you cut bait and move on. It ain't
right.
Fortune in an old man's game.
You know, how surprised are you that the Mets have gotten off to the start that they've that they've had this season? Because haven't they had injury issues?
Swear to God, and I'm the most skeptical fan, like every Mets fan. I'm used to the bipolar, like highs and lows. No, from the second they hired Buck Showalter, and they got Bassett, and they got Mad Max, Starling Marte, I've been overjoyed. This year, I expect the Mets to win and probably go to the World Series. I really do. It's a whole new team.
Oh yeah, you know, and I've even said this with Lou when we've talked about the managerial hire.
This
hires,
is a whole new Mets team.
Recently.
Yeah.
When we've talked about the managerial hires in past podcasts, you know, I told him Showalter was probably the best option that the Mets could have potentially had. Because it's not his fault that he was dealt a shit team out in Baltimore.
No.
And
Arizona.
You know,
Baltimore.
The one winning season that they did have under him, they were legitimate threats to potentially make it to the World Series. I mean, that's literally how you know, how he was able to turn that team into a winning baseball team. And then all of a sudden, you know, Oriole management decided, well, hell, we can't have this happen. We're known for being losers. So we need to, we need to try and sabotage this team in any way possible. And ultimately Showalter took the fall for it.
Oh, he's an amazing baseball mind. It was shocking to me personally that he didn't get hired the first time around 2 years ago. I mean, come on. The Yankees should have hired him. I mean, Buck Showalter, he's gold.
Yeah, considering his track record, I was very surprised that he was in the unemployment line for as long as he was. Because, you know, how do you keep somebody with his track record on the sidelines?
Well,
and
I
not
mean,
pick him up
I,
immediately.
I think you made a great point earlier a few seconds ago when you said, you know, well, you know, sometimes people are going to look at that record. Oh, wow. He didn't win a lot. He was in Baltimore. Oh, he was in Arizona. Dude, it does not. It takes players to win games, not coaches. So the real baseball minds knew that Buck was awesome, but some people might be like, oh, you know, he wasn't a winning manager. Please. The team wins games, not the manager. Now, what he does, he adds the element of accountability, discipline, consistency. He really runs the ship every day. The Mets have a few divas. And I'm not gonna talk trash about my team, but Lindor might be a little bit high maintenance, if you will. Pete Alonso, you know, they're used to like the Noah Syndergaards, the Matt Harveys. When Buck came in, he said, "Okay, we're gonna go win games, and we're gonna focus every day, and we're not gonna party, we're not gonna worry about girls, we're gonna do all that stuff on the side, but we're gonna focus." Like he changed the mindset of the Mets. So every day they show up now, they're trying to win. The Mets usually he brought in like a sergeant. He brought in the sergeant. He brought in like militant.
Right. You know, the perfect comparison actually is to like when you look at coaches and you say, "Oh, they must suck because they had a losing record." You know, let's take a look at a perfect example, apart from Showalter, would be the Boston Red Sox this season. 10-18,
yep.
They have a World Series winning manager in Alex Cora, who also brought them to the ALCS last year, two games away from the World Series, and or two wins away, I should say. And Now all of a sudden he has a losing record this year, and everybody's going to say, "Oh, Cora sucks. Cora, you know, Cora can't manage." But yet they overlook the fact that meanwhile your general manager Chaim Bloom is doing dumpster diving instead of trying to go after. He did sign Trevor Story, but you know, as far as starting, as far as pitching goes,
nothing.
Yeah, he basically likes dumpster diving.
I like Trevor Story. I mean, let's dial it back and look at what we all know. Colorado versus other fields, he's different. He's still a good player. He's not a superstar.
Yeah.
So now they bring in Story. Now he's taking Bogart's seat next year, or now Bogart's a free agent coming up. So he's not happy. It's a little bit weird. Devers, I mean, Boston has a great team. Now, listen, Boston's best hitter is coming up in about 2 weeks. Tristan Cassis, 6'5" left.
Yes.
First. Now, he's coming up. Give me a break. Bobby Dalbec? No, he's done. He's coming up.
No.
Cassis is going to be a top three hitter on the Sox in a couple weeks.
Yeah, granted, he's hitting 250. He heading into today, he was hitting 258 in AAA. But you know, I can't wait until they finally call
he's
up Cassis because
he's ready.
I mean, all you had to do was just look at what he did for Team USA.
Oh
and
my God!
Granted,
he had, what three home runs in one weekend?
Yeah,
I mean.
I mean, you know, granted, maybe perhaps the competition isn't as high over there, considering the fact that you don't really have major leaguers.
That's
compete
okay.
For teams.
that's still the world stage. I mean, that still means something to me. That's still legit. He wasn't doing that in our backyard.
Yeah, and you know, my understanding is he's actually hitting lights out right now for Worcester. So.
Yeah,
actually, wait a minute. I have his stats right here. 5 homers and 19
it's funny,
RBIs in 28 games.
I was telling Louis the other day. I have a couple different like big money fantasy leagues in Dynasty, and where you can have minor leaguers. I have Cassis everywhere. I have Adley, the Orioles catcher, the next Piazza. I got him everywhere. Those are the two next big bats coming up.
Yeah, you know, it is. I just got to say, Dalbec, yeah, he was good last year. The problem is he swung and missed God knows how many times when in key situations when we could have gotten a lot of runs potentially if he was just more patient. The problem with this now is. They're going to have to do something with Dalbec. Like either he's going to permanently be on the, you know, he's going to be on the bench or maybe they're going to do some, I know how Cora likes to rotate.
Probably
so maybe.
You probably know
maybe
a lot
perhaps
more than
he
me.
Could be traded.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot more than me than about Boston and Cora knows a lot more than us. If it were me, I mean, he's probably going to get designated. I would trade him for an arm. Because it's coming.
Oh,
I mean,
definitely would.
Dalbec's not going to be there in a month, so you might as well get something for him.
Yeah, I definitely. You know, honestly, before the season started, I know he was being talked about as maybe perhaps being a trade piece for like Frankie Montas or the Athletics other ace that they had, Sean Manaea. You know,
oh God, he's doing great in San Diego now. Manaea is the fucking pardon my language. Manaea is a great player.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah,
I'm just so
disappointed. The problem with Boston is they just don't want to pay their players. They don't want to pay for anybody. So I mean, yeah, they paid for Story, but that's because they know that Bogarts is leaving, and they don't want to give Bogarts what he wants. So. That's literally the only reason why they paid for Story.
Yeah.
And now they don't want to pay Devers. And actually, as a matter of fact, for Devers, for the Devers negotiations, they're literally nine figures apart in negotiations from what from what was officially said. Nine figures. So they're not even
What are they offering? It's basically like they get,
I don't know what the official offer was, but you know, supposedly, you know, Devers obviously with how hot of a hitter he's been ever since he fully developed into a I don't think has he made the All-Star. He actually made the All-Star team last year when he developed into an All-Star. You know, everybody said, okay, you know, Devers is officially here. Like, this is one of the top young hitters in all of baseball. And now they're basically treating him like, okay, you know, we'll give you an offer of, say, 4 years and $80 million, which, I mean, is nothing to scoff at. You know, $20 million per season. But
I agree with you, but I mean, what are you doing? If you are running a pro team in Boston, this is, I'm sorry, I went to school in Ohio. I love small markets. This is Boston, Mass. They have money.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Mookie Betts style again? I mean, what are they doing?
That is exactly what they're doing.
Sign him up for 10 years. Lock him in.
That is exactly what they're doing. They are treating Bogarts and Devers like they did Mookie Betts. And actually, this may actually be worse, because from my understanding is that the low ball offers that they gave to both Bogarts and Devers are perhaps worse than what they offered Betts.
Wow.
So,
what was the offer?
I mean, that should say something. I mean, my understanding is that it was around 4 years, $80 million for Devers, when Devers is seeking, like, you know, we're talking, like, if he were to hit the open market, he would easily command nine figures. So at least maybe 150 to 200 million from what it sounds like. So he's looking at one of those mega contracts potentially.
Wow.
And the Red Sox, my understanding is, according to reports, the Red Sox offer was nowhere close.
I mean, what are they doing? Are they trying to piss people off? I don't get that.
Well, you know what the thing is the fact that John Henry, their owner, he owns not just the Red Sox. He owns I think it's at Liverpool over in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's Liverpool.
Like, they're an awesome
and now
team
he
enough.
Owns the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Well, good for him.
So he's
gonna destroy the Red Sox if he doesn't shape up.
Yeah.
So now I need to focus
on these two teams.
And you know, just to circle back to the overall big picture, a few years ago, how do you not make Mookie Betts happy? that was the biggest cardinal sin right there. I mean,
right.
Verdugo, Mookie Betts is a Hall of Fame player. So how do you move that? I don't know.
I can understand them wanting Verdugo in the deal. But you bring in Jeter, you want Jeter Downs to be part of the deal, and then here's the thing I don't get. Okay, they bring in Jeter Downs as part of the deal, and they bring in Connor Wong was the other player that was involved, and yet then you draft Marcelo Meyer at shortstop, which further crowds your shortstop your shortstop depth chart. It's like you're basically telling your fans right there, don't expect Bogarts to be around for long, because we're already getting ready to replace him.
And that just I know, man. You know, in a perfect world, everyone could get paid. You know, I want more money. I'm sure maybe you want more. Like, wherever we work, maybe you're the same way. A lot of people I know want more money. When it comes to that, you know, when you're in that big dynamic, when you have hundreds of millions as an owner, you've got to give that money out. Boston's a hotbed. They're a baseball city. Their players should be paid and rewarded. And this is kind of a troubling trend now. You look at Mookie, and then now you look at this. I mean, are they going to retain Devers or Xander? They should have both.
I think – well, Devers is under contract, I think, for one more year. It's just that he has one more final year of arbitration.
Okay. I know Xander's a free agent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's gone. As far as
Trevor Story. Yep.
As far as I can tell, yeah, he's gone. Because even though I will say this, Trevor Story was signed to play second base this year because of the fact that his arm he's lost a little bit of arm strength, so he can't make some of those same throws that he's been able to make for years from shortstop. So that is going to be a real big issue. If he has to get moved back over to shortstop, Boston's going to have a problem. And we may see some defensive throwing errors be made by him because of the fact that he's starting to all of a sudden lose arm strength.
Yeah. It's interesting. Now, another really cool caveat, another cool thing that I meant to ask you, man, as a Boston fan, Tanner Houck. I mean, the guy is all-world talent, monster arm, what have you. Now, are they using him, or what's going on? Now he's back in the pen?
Yeah, you know the big problem, and I believe I kind of understand what Cora was trying to do last year, where they basically said, "Oh, you know, we can't have him go five innings because, you know, we don't want him to wear out his arm because he had some sort of surgery, I believe." At one point, or maybe no. Wait a minute. I think I'm thinking of one of our other pitching prospects. But you know, for some reason, Cora decided that we need to limit the amount of innings that he has. So I think that first off, he was one of their hottest pitchers that they had last year in terms of production, and It just seemed like, you know, they don't have the confidence that he can go a full five innings without screwing something up. And
now,
I never understood it.
Is he limited to, two pitches or three pitches? What does he have in his cookbook? Because if you're a two-pitcher, you're bullpen. That was kind of the question with him. I mean, he looks like a starter.
Yeah, I mean, he is, you know, he is a star. I honestly believe he's a starter just based off of how he's come up through the league. But I mean, he has four different pitches. He has a slider, he has a four seamer, he has a sinker, and he has a split finger. But most of the time he uses the slider, fastball, and sinker. He barely uses the split finger if he does. So, you know, he projects to be a starter, and that's what the plan originally was. But I don't understand what they're doing now all of a sudden that, oh, we're bringing Garrett Whitlock into the starting rotation. So now we have to, they're obviously going to make room for James Paxton once he comes back from injury around the All-Star game, I think. So now they're like, okay, we have to start not only do we have to solve our bullpen solution, but we also have to figure out what our rotation is going to look like when he comes back. So now, the fact that they got Michael Wacha, they got Rich Hill, they got they got Garrett Whitlock, they got Nate Eovaldi. And Nate Eovaldi is another one who's not going to get re-signed, by the way, because they have yet to begin. Yep. They have yet to begin negotiations with him at all. But with
I never bought into his hype train. Yeah, he's expendable. He's disposable.
But yeah, he's one of the better pitchers though on Boston's roster.
Yeah, there you have it. That's kind of the conundrum. Yeah. Wacha was a top three pick. Top seven pick in his draft by the Cardinals. He was like a sixth overall pick in like 2017, 16. I mean, the dude's a thoroughbred. Now he's been injured left and right. I mean, he's like Corey Kluber.
Right now, he's looking a lot like the Michael Wacha of old.
I mean, look at these guys. God bless them. If you are reborn and you find yourself again, God bless you. Those guys, Corey Kluber now is 2-0 with a 1.5 ERA in Tampa. Wacha played for, the Mets, the Cardinals, Tampa Bay, but four other teams. Now he's finding himself again. He's healthy. Wacha is a number two. He's a number two or a number three in a playoff series, I think.
Yeah, and the fact that he only signed for $7 million is astounding to me. He only signed a one-year deal for $7 million, and yet he's 3-0 right now with a 1.38 ERA and easily one of Boston's best pitchers that they have on their roster right now.
He's a great – not to sound weird, but, you know, if you watch certain pitchers, he's a sexy pitcher. He knows what he does. He's smooth. You know what I mean? He gets it. He's a smart guy. Now, his arm is the biggest question. Look at Corey Kluber. I mean, but Wacha, healthy, is the total stud. I'm surprised that Tampa and, the Mets, I mean, you know, he gets injured and teams let him go. Boston's giving him a chance. They're giving him, you know, a chance.
Yeah, it remains to be seen if he's going to – obviously, from what it looks like right now, it looks like Wacha is easily going to be one of Boston's best pitchers at the end of, you know, once the year ends and you look back at how this year went for Boston, you're probably going to look at Michael Wacha and recognize him as one of the best pitchers on that in their rotation this year. Now,
who's their one and two?
The one is normally Chris Sale, but for some reason, ever since his second year with Boston, he just hasn't been able to stay healthy whatsoever. And he's currently on the 60-day injured list, I think, right now. Honestly, he's projected to probably come back by the All-Star game as well, I believe. And that would make normally Eovaldi be the number two, but right now I believe it's Eovaldi and then Wacha as the one and two.
Now I like that. Now going into a series, you're going to be facing probably the Yankees or the Rays. Eovaldi, I would go one. I would trust or hope that Boston might go and find another ace if they want to make a run. I mean, we'll see. That pitching is not going to stand up.
Yeah, no, there's no shot.
Enough.
Yeah, there's literally no shot. I mean, I'm gonna actually let me take a look real quick and see.
Oh my God, bro, there's potential free agents. Boston, they have the money. They can sign someone.
Well, they do have money. That's the thing. They do have money. It's just that John Henry's like, no, I gotta focus on Liverpool and Pittsburgh here first. So, and also I want to buy an NBA team too. So yeah, try to limit what you spend during this year.
Yeah, it's like his intern is like respond to emails. Come on.
Yeah, it's just flat out ridiculous. And it looks like we have a Grizzly who has just been ejected.
Oh, I'm not watching. What happened?
I am looking right now. I'm trying to see who it was, but Morant is limping. That is not good.
What happened?
That is not good. And Curry for some reason is shooting a technical. Oh, I think that might have been Jaren Jackson who got booted, I think.
For what?
I'm trying to see a replay here. Let's see, who was, okay, no, that wasn't Jackson. Who was that? That was Anderson. Anderson basically rammed into Curry, and Curry basically, I don't know if that was partially a flop by Curry, but he basically went all the way into the back of the basket.
He invited trouble.
Yeah, and basically Anderson then started mouthing off at the ref for calling the foul, and then Anderson got himself ejected. Basically, at least that's what I'm gathering here from the replay that they just showed.
This is going to be a series.
Oh,
I know. I said like
God.
An. They have to win tonight. No, I've changed my way. When you go back into the grindhouse in Memphis, what is that going to be like Tuesday or Wednesday? Those fans are going to be ready. Memphis is going to take this series. I honestly believe that.
Golden State, you know, I talk about making threes with ease. Steph Curry, literally, it didn't even look like he shot the ball. Like, he has such a quick release.
Well, the Grizzlies are missing their best perimeter defender, Dylan Brooks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You tell Dylan next game, all right, you're going to just focus on Steph. What does that mean, Coach? Literally, do not let him catch the ball. If you catch the ball, stand in his grill all game. Terrorize him. I mean, Clampers, that's like Pistons. That's old school, bad boys. That's basketball. Cut the guy off. Make someone else win the game.
Yeah, and now obviously we'll see what happens if maybe Memphis is officially able to get back into this series. But I'll tell you one thing: if Golden State shoots in Game 4 like how they did tonight, I'm kind of finding it kind of difficult to think that Memphis will be able to get back into this series. And it really looks like there is something wrong with Ja Morant right now with that knee. Because he was having trouble just lining up at the free throw line from what it looks like.
Oh, man.
And he's still limping right now, heading back to the locker room.
Ooh, no, bueno. I'm not watching it. That sounds awful.
Yeah.
How bad does it look? If you had to guess right now, is it bad or is it like?
I mean,
okay.
I think maybe he'll be fine for Game 4, but he won't be at 100%. Because,
okay.
I mean, he's
okay.
He's limping, but he isn't requiring any help, basically. I mean, maybe it could be from exhaustion. Maybe it could be from exhaustion, I guess, perhaps. I don't know. But it, you know, if you end up having to lose Ja Morant for any specific amount of time, you know, that's just that will probably be curtains for Memphis.
Yeah, I mean that's the end of the road if that happens. I respect
now Golden State.
I'm so sick of Golden State, and the Grizzlies are such a hardcore, like defensive, hardworking team. I want them to win. That's the way I am. I'm sick of Flash Brothers.
Yeah, and now Golden State to rub it in Memphis's face. Golden State is keeping their starters in while Memphis took their starters out.
Well, there you go. That's Steve Kerr. Yeah. No, Memphis is fine. What, it's 2-1. Now we're going back to Memphis. Like the that's a great song. Walking in Memphis. Walking in Memphis. They're going back to Memphis. What, Tuesday or Wednesday? They're fine. Memphis takes two there,
okay, so,
and then back to Golden State to win it.
So I'm reading something from the owner of this podcast. I'm part of a group called Sports Whispers, and they have other Whispers groups like Survivor Whispers, Big Brother Whispers.
I pray that I've earned my right to maybe get called again. I hope.
Oh no, yeah. By all means, man. You know, you can call in every Saturday night if you want to. Saturday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, we had a podcast. We had a podcast back in the day. Well, like a year ago, Louie was calling in all the time, and then when that stopped, Louie was like, "Al, come over here." Like, he talked about you. I'm like, "Oh, this is great."
Yeah, you know, I mean, feel free. I mean, obviously, if there's if I end up not having a show 1 week, you know, I'll let Lou know so that he can let you know. But yeah, I mean, we've had some trolls call in previously, but I mean, yeah, you know, feel free to call in every week if you want to.
Of course. Yeah, Lou.
But
Lou and I hopefully are get a show going too, maybe like Wednesday nights or something, once a week.
Yeah, it's you know, Lou has been on here for how long has it been, Lou? Now
if Lou's listening right now, I'm screwed.
Yeah,
just
well,
talking
he's
on behalf for like 10 minutes. Louis?
Well, actually, he is connected, but I think because he's in the casino, so he's just been listening. I think. I want to say it's been about maybe 5 or 6 years.
Nice.
About 5 or 6 years that he's been on this show.
That's awesome. We had a fun show. My buddy Joe Ryan, he like covers the Rangers and Knicks. He invited me, and then we started a podcast, and then Lou would call in all the time. So then that stopped, and now I'm like floating in the air. I'd love to be, you know, part
nice.
Of it.
Yeah.
I'm a free agent.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Feel free if you want to join Sports Whispers on Facebook as well, because you know, I'm a moderator of that group, and the right. owner of the podcast, who sometimes calls in as well and joins us, he's in that group as well. We talk sports all the time, so you know, look up Sports Whispers and feel free if you want to join us on Facebook, because
awesome.
I mean, there's always a lot of conversation going on.
Yeah, and furthermore, I'll share it on Facebook too, man. I'm about networking. I want people to win. I want people to network and be happy. So,
yeah,
if we're doing what we love, nothing's wrong
yeah.
with that.
Yeah, but anyways, unfortunately, I'm going to have to cut tonight's show short because I do have somewhere I have to be for tonight. But no, because normally we do 3 hours instead of 2 hour shows. But unfortunately I have to cut tonight's show a little bit early. But yeah, you know, feel free to join us every Saturday night. And you know, if you're a fan of Survivor, have you seen the show at all?
Dude, you're going to kill me. I'm going to ask your name again.
Steve.
What's your first name?
Steve,
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I hadn't even, like, introduced myself about that. Survivor, I love. I haven't been into it recently, but, yeah, I love the show.
Well, you know, feel free because we do recap shows every Thursday night at 9 Eastern. I mean, you don't have to stay on the whole time. You can call in and, I mean, we basically break down every single episode bit by bit. And, you know, there's a lot of people in Survivor Whispers who have actually enjoyed a lot of our shows that we do for the Survivor recaps. So, I mean, I'd love to have you on for Sports Whispers Weekly. I'd also love to have you on if you call into the Survivor podcast. You know, we'll get you on to the Survivor podcast.
Nice.
I mean, so, you know, feel free. But that, unfortunately, is all for tonight, though, because I do have to leave to go meet up with somebody for work, some stupid work related issue, some sort of meeting. But anyways, it was a pleasure to have you on tonight, Alex. Like I said, feel free to call again. And Lou, thank you, Lou, for joining me as always. Actually, he already disconnected.
Lou's on the cables right now.
Yeah, he just disconnected, actually. So,
Lou's party.
But anyways, though, thank you for calling tonight. For any of our listeners, whether you're listening on Blog Talk Radio or if you're listening on any of our other outlets, you can find us on blogtalkradio.com/MissyAE. You can find us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music by searching Missy AE, and you'll get access to all of the shows that we've done, whether it's Survivor, Big Brother, you name it, if it's on our archives. So
nice.
Anybody who's listening to this, obviously they're going to be listening to this on the archive, but feel free to subscribe and you'll get access to all of the shows that we have coming up, as well as the shows that we've already previously done. So thank you once again, Alex, for joining me tonight. Thank you to Lou. And we will be back for Sports Whispers Weekly next Saturday night. So everybody have a good rest of your weekend. And, yeah, we will be back next Saturday night.